KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. Here's Terry Maxwell.
And I want to wish everybody good afternoon. We are here on a Wednesday, a shindig Wednesday, and you'll notice that as we come back from our breaks, we're going to be playing some really old-time music, artists. We're doing this just out of respect because those people really laid the foundation for the great music that we had during the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. After that, you know, I kind of lost interest. You know what? That's when I got married to Paula and I started to become a country western fan. So, and I don't know that rock and roll had anything to do with the establishment, of country music. I think country music was well established long before that happened. So that's what you get to enjoy. We have Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice with us today. You have been extremely busy from what you were telling me. It's just, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving parts out there.
There is. I'm writing more and more prescription for ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. We're fortunate we've had really good results.
You know, Jen, I haven't asked you this before, and if this is I'm out of bounds with this question, just let me know. But somebody who is wanting to know whether their doctor would prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, is that a fair question to ask of your doctor?
Of course.
And of course. The answer is no, they wouldn't, then if you feel strongly about it, that's time to possibly consider a plan B?
Well, sure, Terry, but you're going to have everybody who wants hydroxychloroquine join the practice, and we're very short. I don't want to say too much because we're very close to closing the practice because we've got too many patients, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But ask your doctor. There's no harm in asking. Seriously, Terry, ask your doctor, all right? I had a guy.
They're both very, 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 very safe products.
Hydroxychloroquine has been used for years. As long as you have no blocks, heart block, is safe. We've used it for
years. You do an EKG, and
away you go. All right. In most of the countries around the world, it is sold over the counter like aspirin.
Right.
End of discussion. All right. It's just, we don't, you know, if you're a rheumatologist or you treat patients with RA and things like that, then you know about it. Most doctors don't really know about it, kind of thing. All right, but it is safe. And the key with this stuff is you have to do it early, Terry. It doesn't work to see your doctor a week later. I'm sorry. I mean, I'll give it to you, but it's probably it's too late, kind of thing.
Well, actually, exposure. If you get exposed to somebody who, quote, is shedding, then that's a good time to use it, too.
We have our patients call us when they're exposed. We start them right away when they're exposed. Right?
Good.
It's safer. It's very safe. We do EKGs on all our patients, so we know if they're okay to do it, all right? And it's not very expensive.
Right.
The ivermectin's gone up in price. I think it's about $3 a pill, but you're going to take 7 pills probably. That's $20, $21. Big deal. You know what I mean?
I think most people's lives are worth that.
Yeah,
although there are a couple of people I might not think so.
One of my patients brought me something that she printed off, I think probably off the internet, about the response. I haven't had time to really look at it and see how accurate it is or what's been going on. But apparently, but just scanning this article that she printed out and gave to me, but apparently in India, they just opened up ivermectin open for everybody.
Yeah, you didn't have a prescription or anything.
And literally within 5 weeks, the
surge that they were seeing,
it went down to zero.
Yeah,
or to nothing, kind of thing. All right, it's kind of interesting, but no.
Okay, I just wanted to ask that question because people do.
Talk to your doctor.
People do ask.
There's
people
doctors
do ask
that
me.
Do it. All right, there's doctors that do it. I look at it, Terry, and this is just me. There's very little downside, really no downside.
Mm-hmm.
and the potential is great.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Why not do it?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Hey, we want to talk about a touchy subject today.
What a way to introduce this. Okay. Yeah. A touchy-feely subject.
A touchy subject. And a subject that, you know, a lot of people don't really want to talk about, and that is the idea that when you're doing an examination that you and this is either through self-examination or once someone is in a doctor's office, usually women but also in men, they find a mass in the breast.
Terry, yes. What does your doctor think about when he goes through it? You know, when you come in with, I've got a mass, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, we used to recommend self-examination, but we used to have the patients come in to do breast exams.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that. In fact, today what we do is we'll have the patient, we'll teach them how to do the breast exam if they've never been taught before.
Right.
There's specific ways of going about that. All right, and it has to be done the same time of the cycle, you know, and they just get into routine and doing it. And we're much more aggressive with mammograms, things like that. But the bottom line is that if you have a mass or some tenderness or something wrong, women go see their doctors actually pretty quick. All right,
right,
pretty quick.
Right. It's
first
it's
of all,
accepted.
The doctor wants to know, is it tender?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and. If it's tender, it usually means it's an infective etiology.
And okay.
I'll give a caveat at the very end.
Right.
But usually means it's an infective etiology. There's an infection going on. It could be a mastitis or an abscess. All right?
Sure.
You can get, with a chronic cystic mastitis, they can present with a mass. All right? But it's also possible that you can get advanced carcinomas can present with a tender mass, okay? And I'll tell you a story that we had in the last year, okay?
Okay.
But I had a woman come in to see me. And make a long story short, she got her right breast it got crushed in a door or, like, you know, and it came in black and blue. You know,
sure.
And, oh my gosh, kind of thing, you know. And we
want to make sure there was nothing wrong.
Yeah, and it's all
done any damage.
It's black and blue. It's a big hematoma. It's, we followed it, and it didn't get better. Terry, it didn't go the right way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, I said, "Listen, we need to do mammograms. There's something wrong here. You know, this isn't acting right. All right." And we did, and lo and behold, she ended up having a cancer under that area she got it black and blue and crushed. All right? Well, you're going, oh my gosh, this is kind of O-S-H-I-T kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right? And so some of these things, they can make doctors look bad, all right, if a doctor isn't really on it. And the patient's thinking, I crushed my breast in the, you know, in the door. Big deal. But it wasn't acting the way it should have. All right?
In the course of action, you have that kind of a hematoma, you have the bruising and everything. That's going to run its course. It's going to go away slowly, but it'll change colors,
but this
and finally it
didn't
goes
act
away
the right way.
Right. Right?
And she was
did
smart enough to come back and said, you know, we need to look at it again. All right?
Yeah.
And sadly, she ends up with a breast cancer, right? But
did that save her life?
We
think so.
I don't know. Time will tell. It's too early.
Right.
I'm trying to remember the staging of it, but I don't know the answer.
That sounds like a story straight out of the book Survivor's Club, where the woman, she trips and falls and stabs herself accidentally with a knitting needle, and ends up, when they take her, you know, they're smart enough not to pull it out. Otherwise,
by the way, very true. That's very smart.
But they end up finding a mass as a result of it.
In there, yeah.
And sometimes when we injure ourselves, we uncover things.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why pancreatic cancer is so difficult to diagnose and diagnose.
Like not Larry.
We don't know it's there until it's too late.
Yeah,
you know, I hate to say that, but it's true. And these are the same things. What's happened with breast cancer? But by the way, it's this, up to 1 in 7 women are going to have troubles down the road.
1 in 7, okay.
It can be very high in some studies, not all. There's a strong, if you've got a family history, oh my gosh, all right, especially if you have the BRCA antigens and that, you know, if those are things that there's issues there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the antigen, it does not mean, this is important maybe to mention, we've talked about this in other programs, But if you have these antigen, these you have the gene for the breast cancer. Let's put it that way, okay?
Right.
You have the gene for the breast cancer. We used to think that means everybody's going to get breast cancer, all right? You've got this gene, you're going to get breast cancer. In fact, we used to take both breasts off on these women. You know what I mean?
Right.
Prophylactically. Sure, yeah. All right? That was standard of care a few years ago. We no longer do that. And here's the issue. We now know that those genes are suppressed in most women.
Oh, okay.
Do you follow? So just because of a gene, it's not the gene that counts. It's how it's whether it's suppressed or not.
Right.
All right?
So if the breast has discharge, does that have a specific meaning also to you?
Yes.
Is this something you're looking at?
Probably the most important, you know, if it's a purulent discharge, it's usually an abscess or mastitis, all right?
Right.
If it's a watery discharge, it usually means it can be a chronic cystic mastitis. This is a woman that has a mastitis for months and months, all right? Mm-hmm. It's not being treated properly. If it's a bloody discharge, probably the key, the doctor will want to know if it's bloody. If it's bloody, this usually means it's a malignant process, Terry.
Okay.
And usually an interductal carcinoma. But that's the key. If you're a woman out there and you get a bloody discharge around your nipple, you need to see the doctor right away. All right. Things need to be looked at.
If you're suspecting that it is infectious, it's either an abscess or something along those, and it's very tender and things like that. Do you go to the point where you try and discover what's infecting?
What we do. First of all, if the woman is lactating, mm-hmm. all right, we give them antibiotics. They're safe for the baby, and we have them suck on that breast and empty everything out. All right.
Right.
That's the first thing. All right. If they have abscesses, we usually put a needle in it and suck it out. All right.
Right.
And then
because an abscess is a walled off area, yeah. And you can actually do that, just poke into it and suck everything
the stuff out.
Yeah.
And then we send it for culture and see what it is. All right. To make sure that you don't give, you know, they don't have a resistant bug in there. All right. And most of them are not resistant, by the way. Those are treated with antibiotics and heat. And sometimes we have to open them up and pack them, but that's rare. Most of the time, they don't need to be opened and packed. They need to be drained with a needle. And it's actually pretty easy to do.
Well, so that's fairly common with, like, a cystic mass. Because it isn't something that you have to drop everything you're doing and take care of right away. Because exactly. They eventually will dissolve on their own.
Let's talk about cysts a bit. Because you get cysts in the breast, all right? One of the things doctors do, they've got a lesion there, all right. Mm-hmm. And if a doctor thinks it's cystic, you can take a strong flashlight with a pinpoint, hole or light, turn the lights off, have another nurse in the room, a chaperone kind of thing, and you can see if it what's called transilluminates, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And if it transilluminates, and you'll see the light go through it, it's probably cystic. If a light doesn't go through it, it's probably solid.
Yeah, it's purulent or it's got a solid mass.
Well, not usually purulent at that size. But these things, that means it's a mass. It needs follow-up.
Sure.
All right?
Sure.
Maybe the best thing I can say is we're going to talk about all of these things, but these things all need to be followed and not forgotten about. That's probably the most important thing.
Okay, let's take a break right there because we are going to talk about all these things. We've got to take this break. We'll be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
The new KNKers are here. Get one and stake it. It could make you a winner. Bakersfield's choice for local Kern County news. AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Up every day at 6, bacon and eggs to fix. For kids from 1 to 4. Pretty soon there'll be one more.
This is Judy Miller, or Jody Miller. She was actually a country western singer. She did a spoof on King of the Road. You have to listen to the words. It's called Queen of the House. Let's get back to our conversation with Dr. Mensink. Okay, so What does a deformity of the breast mean?
You know what I
and by deformity, why don't you go ahead and define what you think of as a deformity?
There's no two breasts the same way and the same size. Right. You know, that doesn't exist. All right,
they're asymmetrical in the first place.
No matter what. All right, but women know what their breasts are like. All right,
right.
But what I recommend women to do once a month, when you're in the bathroom or something, I want you to stand naked in front of the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And look at your breasts in the mirror. Because you know, it's hard for women, especially if the breasts are bigger, to see them and look underneath.
Yeah, look at
them
all.
And there's a lot of things you can get by looking at your breasts in the mirror. What do I want that patient to look for? Number one, is there a change in asymmetry? Is the nipple pointed a different way or than it usually does? Mm-hmm. Or is there a little bit of, does it look like an orange? Like, we call it pot orange, but looking like an orange rind in that mm-hmm. area?
Right.
Is there a little dimpling? Is the nipple inverted that it didn't used to be? Or is it?
What about changing color in the areola?
Can, a little bit. There's some issues with that. Mm-hmm. But something different. Then you need to see your doctor. Mm-hmm. All right? If it changed early. And, you know, you can get breast cancer when you're in your 20s and 30s, Terry.
Right.
You know, it's usually in the later ages, or later age groups, okay? But it can be very subtle, you know? And so you look at your breasts in the mirror, mm-hmm. all right? You just stare at it. And every once a month, you know, around the same time of your cycle, you just look at them and see, is there anything different?
Right.
Nothing different, no problem.
Right.
All right. And you may want to feel them sometime, you know, and have your doctor teach you how to feel. There's a certain ways you have to feel your breast. Now, you don't feel with your fingertips. You sort of roll the breast tissue over your fingers. All right. You can't feel anything with your tips.
Because then you'll feel almost a little, like a little pebble in there.
Yeah. But as you roll your fingers over that breast on the mm-hmm. side, all of a sudden you feel something. Mm-hmm. Ah, that's what you want. Whereas you'll miss it if you're trying to push, you know, with your fingertips. You won't even feel it. All right. So that's the first thing. And your doctor
now, for the women who have implants, you will feel something anyway, right?
We're going to talk about implants at the end, if we've got time, about what the issues are with those. But you will feel it. You know, and you'll get to know where your lumps and bumps are. You know what I mean?
Right,
that sounds terrible, but you'll get to know.
Well, it's kind of like driving your car when in the engine, whenever you hear something, wait a minute, I've never heard that before. There's something wrong with my engine. Same sort of thing.
You know,
when you get used to seeing it, one's visual, the other one's auditory. Yeah. But when you get used to seeing it, you go, wait a minute.
Yeah, something's different.
I haven't seen something. I haven't seen that before. I wonder what it is.
Yeah. So you want to make sure, first of all, any retractions in the breast usually mean there's a cancer underneath it. Okay.
Okay.
If you have orange, we call it pota orange, P-E-A. D-U orange, mm-hmm. but it looks like an orange peel, or that kind of, we call it dimpling, but that looks like an orange peel. See your doctor right away. That usually means there's a malignancy underneath it. And what's happening, so you understand what's physiologically happening, is there's what we call stroma. There's little fibers in the breast tissue, and the cancer is growing around it and pulling on them. And
that's what's dimpling it.
You get
that's
a little
what
dimpling,
the
dimpling
yeah.
from it, all right? The other thing is if you have necrosis or ulceration, you get necrosis means you got damaged tissue.
Yeah, dead and damaged
tissue. Yeah, all right. Or you got a little ulcer and it won't heal. See your doctor right away. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned the lady who crushed her breast, you know, and ended up having a mass underneath it. Okay. Those things happen. But probably the biggest issue is look in the mirror if you're a woman. Just every once a month, you know, stare naked in the bathroom, you know, look at, and you get to notice how your breasts are supposed to be.
Yeah.
All right, and if something changes, you see your doctor right away.
Okay, and what about you have a patient come in, you decide I need to get different views from a mammogram. Why would you take different views of the breast?
Good question, Terry. The standard to do a full mammogram, Terry, is about $500-$600 to do all the views that are available. All right,
right.
And the decision was made probably in the late 90s. All right, this is a public health decision we made, but nobody would get a nobody's going to do a screening mammogram if you spend $500. All right. So what decisions were made? We picked the most likely views of the mammogram. a limited number that we could do for a very reasonable price to give the best chance of finding a malignancy. Right? That's literally, it was a public health decision. We cut down the views to get the biggest bang for the buck kind of thing.
Sure.
All right? It's hard for people to understand, but that's literally what happened. All right? And I have no problem with that, literally. All right? This is a screening mammogram. But because of that, Terry, what this means is if there's any little irregularity or something that the pathologist or the radiologist is looking at, he may ask for extra views.
Sure.
Maybe an MCO view or something to get a better picture that's not routinely done under regular standard mammograms. And that's why he'll call you back for extra views, all okay. right, to get a picture of that. And
well,
so,
the standard views, I mean, that covers what, 95% of the?
Probably more than that. I personally think it's a good idea, all right? But that's just so people understand, all right? The next thing that the doctor will do is often is he'll order an ultrasound, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're common, all right? If you have, there's some women that have very dense breasts, Terry. Just there's a lot of breast tissue there and not much fat. And they're very dense breasts. Sometimes they're hard to get a good pictures on the on the mammograms. And the pathologist will look at it and say, I can't really see enough. We need to do ultrasounds.
Right.
And women, we have many patients that have, you know, if you're a woman that you every time for the last 10 years you've needed an ultrasound after, mm-hmm. all right, and it's always been negative and no other problems, we often just say, do the ultrasound, don't even do the
MRI. What about an MRI?
MRIs, Terry, are very, you can do an MRI of the breast, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not used often, but here's where they are used. If you have any problems underneath the breast in the pectoralis muscle, or in the bones themselves, all right? And that's where MRIs are really valuable for.
Okay.
Right? Sometimes we will even ask for CT scans of the chest to go with the breast, because you can literally, Terry, have masses in the chest, especially in the lining of the lung, that can infiltrate through the breast into the breast tissue and cause problems.
Okay.
All right? That's not common, by the way. All right, but that can be used or done. All right, but for most women, a mammogram works well. All right.
Okay, so for women in particular, tell me what's the most common thing you see? Is it a fibrotic tissue?
Cystic
breast.
Fibrocystic breast disease. I don't want to really go into that.
Right.
But today, if you have fibrocystic breast disease and you take a correct amount of iodine or iodide, reduced iodine, within 2 years you can make your fibrocystic breast tissue go away.
Okay.
And you no longer have it, all right? And that will also, there's studies showing that can help not as strong. Fibrocystic breast disease, the studies are very strong. I can get rid of most of it with just correcting iodine. Cysts in the ovaries, not polycystic ovary disease. That's
right.
A different story.
That's a different story.
All right, but cysts in the ovaries, many of them will respond to iodine too.
Okay.
All right, but the research for that is not as beefy or as strong. Right, it's good, but for fibrocystic breast disease, it's very good. All right, and if you have a woman that has a lot of fibrocystic breast disease, all right, we do this routinely. For our patients. And it works. Mm-hmm. It works. Mm-hmm. And it can be a cost saving, because a lot of these fibrocystic breast disease patients, they get tender and sore. And, you know, they're always coming in for, they need mammograms, they need more studies and more studies. It gets to be a pain.
Oh, sure.
All right?
Sure.
And it can save a fortune, a pile of money
to solve these
problems.
Sure.
All right. The other thing is that there's a place sometimes you can get pain in the ribs underneath, and it can mimic as breast pain. All right, and another thing that can happen. Terry,
did you say the muscles or the or
in the bone?
In the bone. Rib. Okay. How about the muscle underneath?
Yes, I mean,
same thing. You can get a strained muscle underneath,
or sure. Masses in the muscle, or things.
Sure.
You know, different sarcomas, different things. All right. The other thing that can happen, and sometimes the doctor will be alert to this, but I've had women that have come in with breast pain on one side,
mm-hmm.
and it was really angina.
Oh,
this rare.
Sure. Yeah.
But I've been doing this too many years, rare things happen once in a while. So the doctor will keep that in mind. know, he'll get a story of when it occurs, what's happening, all that. And think about that. It's rare, Terry. I mean, it's really rare.
Yeah.
Men
yeah.
more common, by the way.
Let's move on to men after we take our break. We got to take a break and come back, and let's talk about breast, men's breasts, because they can have some problems also, right?
Can men get breast cancer, Terry?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk.
We'll be back.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
Alexa, yes, I need my news, weather, and sports.
Only one place to go.
Now, there is a great deal of excitement and anticipation in the air.
You're listening to the Terry Maxwell Show.
Loneliness is
I had no idea it was the Walker Brothers who did this song. They had actually had about three or four hits. Really interesting to go back. When you start researching these people, you get a good feel for them based on how many hits they've had since, you know, they posted it on the one that I used? Spotify. And this song is brought up like 50 million times a year. It's amazing. Okay, that's Walker Brothers. The sun ain't gonna shine anymore. We are talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. You asked me the question, do men get breast cancer? And I said
you
yes.
You gave the right answer. I'm
said
surprised.
Yes.
I'm surprised.
Well, no, I was in the medical field for a little while, so
right,
yeah.
It is true. Men can get breast cancer. It
sure.
is extremely rare, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen probably, I think, one or two cases over the years. They're often missed, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Just men don't realize that it's possible.
Right.
And it is very rare. I don't want all the men getting scared out there. It's very rare. All right. And number two, men often their breasts get big, especially when their testosterone levels go down and they're converting testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, which has androgenic effects.
Right.
Now they get big boobs. All right. You know, they get a gut and they get big boobs. You know, that's how you tell that there's, you know, they're and they also, it goes along with prostate problems, a whole bunch of other things. But men can get prostate cancer. They can get breast cancer, all right? And so doctors, when they see a man and there's something wrong, and it, you know, my feeling, Terry, is it's almost like, I don't feel every man's breast to feel that he has breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But the cases I've picked up, it's almost like a sixth sense. There's something wrong here. Do you follow what I'm saying? And
sure,
I don't know
sure.
how to put it in. And we image those breasts, and oh my gosh, they got breast cancer. All right.
And by breast cancer, are you looking? What sort of a cancer are you usually looking at? Is it a mass?
They're masses.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question of what types of cancer they are. I really didn't. I should have looked that up, but I don't know.
Okay.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it can. If you're a man out there, I don't panic, right? You know, you've got big boobs. It doesn't mean you've got breast cancer, all right?
Right.
These are rare, rare, rare. I mean, I've seen, I think, two in my lifetime, all right? They're rare.
Yeah, we call them man boobs.
Yeah, but it happens, all right? It happens.
Sure,
all right?
Sure. Do these people usually have low testosterone?
Because that might be
one of the reasons for the engorgement of the breast,
Terry,
in the first place.
Terry, our breast, men's breast tissue is the same as women's breast tissue, except what? It has no estrogen stimulation.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what happens? I want you to think of this. So men don't understand this, but you have testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, okay, testosterone does not cause cancer. A lot of people think so. If that was true, all the 21-year-olds have cancer, all right? But what happens is as you get older, you convert more and more of that testosterone to what's called dihydrotestosterone, okay?
Which is a weaker form.
Yes, and it's like an estrogen.
Right.
Think of it like an estrogen. It's not an estrogen, but it has estrogenic effects. So if you get too much of that, you can literally stimulate that breast tissue, and you can get a cancer.
Okay.
All right. Oh, my gosh. No, these are rare, Terry. I mean, yeah. You know, rare. But that's sort of how it works kind of thing. All right. And these men will usually, if they have high dihydrotestosterone levels, they're also probably, their free T is going to be in the basement, and they're going to have prostate problems and a lot of other issues, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that'd be terrible for 21-year-olds to have a possibility of breast cancer with high testosterone because, you know, they're already clueless. So put that on top of everything. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have a couple minutes. Let's talk about breast implants because you had mentioned that at the beginning, and I don't want to miss that part of the conversation.
Okay,
we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
You stepped out of a dream.
This is Joe Wilson. I'm sorry we don't have more time for him. This is off of an album called A Song Is You. The Song Is You. I tell you, you would, Dr. Menzing, you would love to play this in your house, just as background music. I mean, this guy's got a great voice. Got a great voice. Okay, breast implants, number one. And then you wanted to cover one other thing.
Okay, Terry, probably the most important thing with breast implants is today most of them are saline, all right? But if you have the old silicon breast implants, there was a lot of issues with leaking of these, a lot of issues with the autoimmune illnesses, all right? You'll know, you know, your doctor would have told you when you put the implants in. But if you've got the old-fashioned silicon implants, you need to let the doctor know that they're silicon because mm-hmm. there's things he's going to watch for with respect to autoimmune illness.
Should they be taken out?
That's it's for the patient and the doctor. There's just no easy answer. There's no easy answer for that, Terry. The new implants are not, they're almost all are saline. Those issues are gone. But this is from years ago. The issues with breast implants are that it's easy to, they still can get breast cancer, all right? You still need mammograms and ultrasounds, all right? And they often can be hidden easier, all right, if you've got breast implants. Probably the most important thing, Terry, if I could end up this whole hour with the most important message, if you're a woman, age 45 or higher, older, talk to your doctor, get your damn mammograms. Be faithful with it. And the doctor's usually pretty good. They will refer you to a surgeon early.
Excellent.
Just do it.
Thanks, Dr. Mensing.